Just to set the stage, I have a quote. You can see it up on the screen from Bill Hybels that I think is a good place to start when we think about outreach and evangelism. He says this. He says, "The single greatest gift Christ followers can give to the people around them is an introduction to the God who created them, the God who loves them, and the God who has a purpose for their life. This is what evangelism is. Constantly watching for ways to give that gift to someone who is far from God." And I like that. Evangelism is this. Constantly watching for ways to give that gift to those who are far from God. Isn't that so true? I don't know about you, but as I look back on my own life and how I came to faith in Christ, I sometimes wonder at the way in which the Lord brought me to Himself. And like most of you, I came to Christ through the influence of several very influential people in my life. The first being my parents. I was blessed to have two Christian parents who did their best to raise me up in a Christian home and in a church. There was a youth pastor who reached out to me in those junior high, high school years where I was no longer interested in my parents' religion, but he drew me in. And then there were a few committed Christian friends along the way that the Lord placed strategically at strategic times to bring me to where I'm at today. One of those people was Kelly, who's I ended up marrying that friend. So it's amazing how the Lord works in our journey. But as I think about how I should reach out to other people, I sometimes ask myself the question, what was it that those individuals, those significant people did? What was it that they actually did that got me across the finish line of faith? And how was it that the Lord used them to get me there? And to get to our scripture this morning, as we look at it, the story of the woman at the well, it's really no surprise that a lot of those things, those people I mentioned did in my life, were the exact same things we see Jesus doing in John chapter 4 as he encounters the woman at the well. And so in this story, I want to present to us at least five very practical tips or lessons that Jesus gives us for personal outreach. And if you're taking notes this morning, this might be a good lesson to pull out a pen and maybe take some notes because there's some instructional stuff here that you might want to take with you that could be hard to remember. But if you're a note taker, here are the five things. And this is what we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks. And we're only going to hit the first two this Sunday because they're very foundational. And if we don't get these ones right, the other three really aren't going to be very important or implemented properly. So the first one is this, bridging the gap. The second one is asking questions. The third one is practicing patience. The fourth, being aware of rabbit trails. And the fifth one is giving hope to the hopeless. So with that said, let's dig into our scripture this morning, John chapter 4. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it and to John 4 and follow along as we look at some of these verses that relate to those points. So the first lesson that Jesus brings to us is the importance of being willing to bridge the gap between you and the people that you're trying to reach. When Jesus was on this earth, he saw himself as a bridge builder. And throughout Scripture, and particularly in this story, as he talks to the Samaritan woman, we see Jesus being very intentional about relationally crossing bridges. And Jesus crosses racial bridges. He crosses socioeconomic bridges. He even crosses religious bridges so that other people can come to know him as Savior. And so if Jesus is a bridge builder, the obvious conclusion that we need to draw as we think about reaching out to others is that we need to be bridge builders as well. Which I think begs a challenging introspective question that we need to ask ourselves is, what are the bridges that Jesus is asking you to bridge? And maybe more importantly than that, how many steps across the room, across the workplace, maybe across the community or the island, are you willing to go to bridge some of those gaps? If we're going to be effective here, there's some things we need to know. We need to have the right attitude as we think about bridging gaps. in the way that Jesus did. And Bill Hybels, I think, has a good term for how we should approach the gaps that we need to bridge and the attitude we need to have. He calls it crossing into the zone of the unknown. And I know that we aren't a congregation that typically talks back to the pastor, but I want you to get that concept. So I want you to say that with me. I know we usually don't do this, but maybe it'll help you to get that term into your mind this morning. So say that with me, the zone of the unknown. Okay, we all got that? That's where we're going. If we want to reach out effectively, we need to go into the zone of the unknown. And as we look in the book, in the chapter of John chapter 4, in the story we just read, that's what Jesus was doing when he entered Samaria. When Jesus was in Judea, we kind of get the sense that Jesus knew what he was getting into. He knew about the corruption in the temple. He knew about Pharisees and how they were thinking. He knew that the people were steeped in the traditions of Moses and the prophets. And he knew that because that was the culture he grew up in. That was what he was familiar with. He was a young boy. He would go to Jerusalem all the time. And he understood what he was getting into when he entered that place. But for Jesus, Samaria, it was a different ballgame altogether. It was the zone of the unknown. And it's likely, and I never really thought about this until this week, it's likely that this was the first time that Jesus had ever been to Samaria. Though he'd been to Judea and Jerusalem many times, the region of Samaria, this could be the first time he ever entered this particular region. And the reason is because Samaria was a place that Jews didn't go. It was located right in the middle, right? You got Judea in the south with Jerusalem. And then in the north, you have Galilee, where Jesus lived most of his life. And in the middle, you had Samaria. And Jews who were traveling between the two areas, what they would do, they would intentionally go around Samaria. And they would cross the Jordan River. It was a much longer route. And they would go to Judea, or they would go to Galilee. And the reason they did that is because the Samaritan people were considered half-breeds. They were considered second class. They were considered a group of people that you didn't associate with. They were of Jewish descent, but over the years they had intermarried with the Gentile peoples, and they had combined Jewish religion with pagan religion. And as a result, it would probably be an understatement to say that there was an intense hatred between Jewish people and Samaritan people. And we see that if you look in verse 7, it quickly rises to the surface in our story. It says, the woman says to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And then there's parentheses, says, "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And I kind of get the sense at this point in the story, Jesus knew at this point he was in the zone of the unknown. He was in uncharted territory. He didn't exactly probably know how this was all going to play out. And as a youth pastor and somebody who crosses the bridge into the youth culture, just to illustrate this, I often find myself also in the zone of the unknown pretty regularly. Particularly when I go on campus to one of the high schools on the island. And I know the high school students in the back and on the side, you probably think that's funny because you're so comfortable in your high school. When you go on campus, that's the place where you maybe feel most comfortable with your friends. You've been there a long time. But when I go on campus, as soon as I get out of the car, students who are sitting around or walking around, they look at me and you can just see in their eyes, they're thinking, "What is this guy doing here? This is some tourist who's lost his way. You know, this American guy." And then when I start engaging students in conversation, you know, those who don't know me or know why I'm there, it's sort of like, doesn't this guy have any friends his own age? You know, like, what is this about? So I feel this sort of awkwardness when I go on campus, even today after been doing it a long time. But I've learned to pray this prayer, and this could be a helpful prayer for you as you enter the zone of the unknown, wherever that is for you. My prayer is this: Lord, I'm completely open to what you want to do in this situation. Just take me and use me. Just a simple little prayer. And it's not surprising that when I pray that prayer, you know, maybe in the devotion, my devotion in the morning or right before I get out of the car, that God does something that just is so encouraging. Maybe it's an interaction with a student or an interaction with a teacher that was unexpected. And sometimes, you know, nothing happens. But I can still get back into the car and just feel the peace of knowing I modeled Jesus because I was willing to get out of the car. When I was a young youth pastor, you know, there were times where I would drive up to the high school and I would just drive away. Wouldn't even get out of the car. But there's that peace of knowing that I entered the zone of the unknown. And that's what Jesus does when he engages this woman. And this is the model he gives us for reaching out to others. Now, at this point, I know some of you are like type A personality. Some of you are like high energy. You're here in the zone of the unknown, bridging gaps, and you're fired up right now. You're excited. This is like gas in your car, and you don't even want to know points 2 and 3. You're ready to go. And if that's you, you know, go get them. But there's a lot of you here, I'm sure, at this point in the messages, you heard what we're talking about the next 2 weeks. You've got some fears. You've got some trepidations about entering the zone of the unknown. The idea of bridging gaps. You're thinking, boy, I should have just slept in this morning. This isn't what I was in for in terms of a sermon. Maybe you have a list of things of why you shouldn't enter the zone of the unknown. Maybe, you know, nobody's going to listen to me. It's dangerous. I don't have the skills. Whatever it is. Well, if that's you, I think this next point could, and I hope, be of a little bit of encouragement to you. So the second point is this: listening to the Spirit's promptings. This is really important. Before we bridge any gaps, before we try to enter any zones of the unknown, we first need to tune ourselves to the guidance and the motivation and the inspiration that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. And the way that the Holy Spirit often guides us is through what some people have called promptings. And finding words to describe what a prompting of the Holy Spirit is, I'll be honest, it's kind of difficult because it's a mystical thing that happens within us. It's something that's spiritual, but it's also something that happens that's very real. And so sometimes promptings, I'll just give you a few examples of what a prompting of the Holy Spirit might look like. Sometimes a prompting of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit speaking to that little voice in your head and just saying, I want you to go over and talk to that person. Or I want you to ask somebody if they need help. Sometimes it's sort of an unshakable feeling. You're in a situation and you know that if you don't do something for somebody or if you don't say something to somebody, you're going to walk away regretting it. That could be a prompting of the Holy Spirit. For me, promptings of the Holy Spirit usually come during my devotions when a person or a situation sort of just keeps coming to mind and I just can't shake it. And I've learned that that's the Spirit prompting me that I need to think about doing something or saying something or acting in a way to that person. Or it might be just a desire to give someone some encouragement. You know that they're down, you know they're struggling, and you know that you're the one who can meet a need or offer encouragement. Back to our scripture, I think it's notable that in verse 4, it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And we just learned that Jesus really didn't have to go through Samaria. He could have went around Samaria like everybody else. So why does it say he had to go through Samaria? I would submit that the reason lies in what Jesus tells us about himself in John chapter 6 and how he operated as he reached out to people. He says in John 6, he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." So clearly, this is an instance where Jesus himself, the Savior of the world, the second person of the Trinity, was being led by the Father, who was being prompted by the Spirit, who was prompted by the Father to take this unconventional route instead of going around Samaria, to go straight through it. And the reason was, obviously, there was somebody there that Jesus needed to interact with. And the result of that interaction was going to be meaningful for the spreading of the gospel. And so, just as the Spirit prompts Jesus to enter the zone of the unknown, I would submit that the Spirit prompts us to enter those zones as well, to be gap bridgers like Jesus. Just another illustration of kind of maybe what those promptings look like in real life. I was at the the basketball court, just over the hill here, behind the Red Cross building about 2 years ago. And I was playing basketball with a couple of college students. Gino, one of our college students, is here this morning. Was with me. And I looked across the field and I saw a group of students playing soccer. And there was a coach there. And now I'm a soccer player, so obviously there was a natural draw and curiosity of what was going on. But I just had a sense in my mind that I needed to just walk across the field and I needed to go introduce myself to that coach. And obedient to the Spirit, and I don't always listen. By all means, there's many times where I feel prompted, and unfortunately, I don't act, and I should. But this was an act where I was obedient. And I introduced myself to the coach. I ended up coaching. He asked me if I would help with the team. Last season, I ended up coaching the girls' soccer team at C.R. Walker. I met 40 new students that I didn't know before. I would have never known. 20 of those students got involved in our ministry. 10 of those students are going to Camp Bahamas this summer. And this summer, as I mentioned the announcements, we're doing a summer soccer program where there's 40 students who are hearing the gospel every day. They're in the Word. They're learning how to play soccer. They're interacting with Christian leaders. Why did that happen? It all happened because I was obedient to the promptings of the Spirit. And I entered the zone of the unknown. And God did some amazing things, just like He does here in this story. So there's a few application questions in regards to point number one that I just want you to kind of dwell on and think about, and you could write these down. The first is this: can you think of a time maybe recently when the Spirit has prompted you to bridge a gap? Another question is, in situations, does the Holy Spirit have your ear? And are you expecting the Spirit to direct you as you reach out to others? A third question is this. This is a challenging one for me. Am I sitting comfortably, or am I currently seeking ways to be stretched? Maybe that could be being intentional about when you go places, sitting and talking with people that you don't know, or visiting places where people are from a different socioeconomic background, or maybe race than yourself, or even a religion that's not yours. Are you stretching yourself? Are you desiring that? Or are you just sitting comfortably? If we're going to be effective in reaching out to others, I think these are the kind of questions we need to be asking ourselves and challenging ourselves with. Which brings us to our second point, which is much shorter than the first, is that once we've entered the zone of the unknown, once we've bridged the gap, we've been obedient to the prompting of the Spirit, what do you do next? You know, where is the next step? And I think that we need to follow Jesus' lead here. What is the first thing Jesus does with the woman? He asks her a question. Again and again, we see in the Gospels, Jesus drawing Himself and other people to Himself by asking questions of those around Him. And in this story, the question Jesus asks is very straightforward. He says, "Will you give me a drink?" And it's not a religious question. It's not even a personal question, but it's a very practical question that he asks. And I think that he asks this question because he wants to see if this woman's willing to keep talking. She might have just turned and gone the other way, and that was that. But by asking this basic question, he engages her in a non-threatening way and sees if there's an open door. Maybe the Spirit has opened a door for me with this woman, and I'm going to ask her this question. And he does. And so, if you're uncomfortable about asking questions, we should follow Jesus' lead by starting with relatable questions. And in this case, Jesus was thirsty. The woman was thirsty. It was noon. They're sitting by a well. Why not begin with a question about water and see where it goes from there? And as you follow the dialogue, this water theme continues to emerge. And Jesus uses that to weave a thread of the conversation to the gospel in a really amazing way. He asks, "Will you give me a drink?" And as a result of that simple question, what happens? Not only does this woman get saved, but we're told the entire village gets saved and comes out to Jesus. And he ends up spending two more days with them. And it says many more became believers. So often when we are being led by the Holy Spirit, we're willing to engage people with a few relatable questions. What happens is conversations are started. From there, relationships are forged. People's stories are told. And doors are opened from the gospel. And another example, what does this look like in real life? I recently had lunch with a student that graduated a few years ago. He's in the working world now, he's doing well, but he works in a very secular environment, and he shared with me he has trouble sharing his faith with those around him. But he told me one thing that he's discovered that works really well, and it's very easy. He started a devotional book recently that he's into, and he says, you know, I just go to work sometimes, and I ask my colleagues, I tell them what I learned in my devotion. I say, hey, I read this in my devotion. Maybe it's a verse or an idea. He says, what do you think about this? Just opens the door. And he says, it's amazing. You wouldn't believe it, Dan. People just start talking. People start telling their stories. They start sharing things, their ideas and their feelings and their perspectives. All because I just asked them the simple question, what do you think about this devotion? So it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be incredibly elaborate or creative question, but it needs to be relatable. And so that's kind of the progression. You start with relatable questions, and I think that where you want to go with that is maybe that opens the door for some personal questions, and then it leads to some spiritual questions. And my experience is this, and I don't know if you'd agree with me, but where most of us get hung up is right on that second area between personal questions and spiritual questions. And we're pretty good at maybe the first two, but it gets a little bit harder. We start to feel a little uncomfortable because we know we're bridging that gap a little bit further, and we're walking across that bridge a little bit more, and we kind of stop right there. And I just want to kind of close with this. If that's where you get stuck, my advice would be this. Memorize a few questions that you can just carry with you wherever you go, that you have them in your mind and you know them. And so whenever the time comes to bridge that gap by asking a spiritual question, you know what to ask. You know some things that you can say. And here's just a few suggestions that maybe you might want to have. And again, if you're a note taker, these could be questions you could write down. If you were to die today, what would happen to you? I mean, that's just a great diagnostic question. Let people will tell you all sorts of things about what they think. What do you think are the most common misconceptions people have about God? How does believing or not believing in God affect your life? And for people who are hurting, and so many people are hurting today, a good question is, where do you find your hope? Where do you find your hope in your pain, in your struggle right now? Another question to ask, remember, we're trying to lead people to Jesus. So we should ask about Jesus. That should be our goal, is to get to Jesus. And so a good simple question would be, what do you believe about Jesus? A good follow-up to that might be, do you believe that he was real? Did he really walk on this earth as a man? Do you believe that he really rose from the dead? That's a very telling answer you'll get right there if somebody would say that. Where do you believe Jesus is right now? It's questions like that. And so the point here is, it's not what questions you ask. Questions can vary depending on who you are. It can vary depending on your style. But what does matter is that if you think about reaching out to others, you learn to be a good question asker. And so those are the first two points. And I'm just going to say the third one. The third one is practice patience. Because I don't want you to leave here and you start putting some of this into practice and you're like, didn't work. Waste of time. The third one is practice patience. We're going to talk next week a little bit about what does that look like to practice patience. And what are some things we can do while we're in the process of drawing someone closer to the Lord through the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to close with just a minute and a half video. And I'm going to ask Tim to get the lights. And this is Bill Hybels talking and just concluding some of the things we talked about. I hope that this video might further encourage you, further spur you on to want to reach out to others this week as we go from this place. Thanks, Tim.